Friday, 29 April 16, broadcast of the Calvary Hour. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Neighbor, thank you for joining in with us today to the Calvary Hour. This broadcast is sponsored by the Calvary Baptist Church, located in New Bern, North Carolina. I'm Bill Wingard, your host speaker. We are in a long series of messages, actually, as to why God would send Israel into captivity. We were looking at over in the book of Ezekiel. And then we were looking at the letters to the New Testament churches and looking at the problems that developed in those churches and in the church age. Two of those churches were not rebuked. One, Smyrna. It was such a suffering church. The other one was Philadelphia. And they were an obedient church. And it was said of the church at Philadelphia, in fact, the Lord said about it, that they had not denied the faith, they had kept his word. And you know, by the grace of God, they had done all this, though they didn't have but little strength. These were not big timers. These were not folks in high reputation, you know, great orators and what have you. Thank God for great orators, and thank the Lord for people who have the mantle of the Lord and get promoted up to some of the high positions in the Lord's service, if you want to call it that. But let me tell you this as an observer, not as one who has reached those lofty heights. But you know, dear friend, when people become the center of attention, the center of attraction, that can be a very dangerous time in their life. It seems like we do better as Christians in the valleys than we do on the mountaintops. We do better when we're facing a tight critique and we're under a lot of scrutiny than when we're up and so-called above it all. Well, let's get back to our text now. I think you can understand where we're coming from here. And we're looking in 1 John chapter 4, following up from 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8. Father, O God, bless us in these few short minutes that we have. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I thank God for 1 Peter chapter 4, as we're warned about the dangers of persecution coming, and not to think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try us, and consider the Lord Jesus Christ, how he suffered. But as you get to reading about suffering and all these other matters, the Holy Spirit of God called something out that's so important in verse 8 of chapter 4. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. And in 1 John chapter 4, one of the two chapters in the Bible that's given over to godly love. And remember, we're speaking about agape love. We're speaking about the love that comes from God. I thank God for phileo. I love the brethren. Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. It's good to be around folks who have that kind of love. But the love that's being written about here in 1 John chapter 4 and 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is that love that comes from our Lord that really makes life worthwhile to live. And you know, just getting ready to speak, getting ready to preach these messages, and my heart is moved as I look at this scripture. And sometimes it's hard for me to verbalize what's on my heart when I'm trying to share with you. And maybe you're saying, rightly so, preacher, that's not what's important. What's on your heart? I understand that if what's on my heart is not from the Word of God, it's not important. I'll agree with you. But I'll tell you, I have lived for quite a while. I've had the privilege of being in the ministry now for a number of years, and what an opportunity. I wouldn't trade with anybody. I thank God that he counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. A dear friend, it's just the grace of God that he put me in the ministry. It has been his pure grace that has kept me in the ministry. It's been nothing but his grace that has sustained me all these years. And I thank God for the privilege. I thank God that I had the privilege to serve with some of the Lord's greatest servants, and many of them are on the other side now. They have gone to be with the Lord. I have found some characteristics of these people who were truly great. I remember hearing old Dr. Bob Jones Sr. say many years ago that great men were always reasonable. They were always reasonable. And I have found this out too, that not only are great men reasonable, but great men were men who had a great love for God in their heart, and they had a great love for others as well. That was demonstrated in their lives, not some type of sentimental mushiness, but true God-given love. In verse 12, no man has seen God at any time. In 1 John 4:12, if we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. That's our message, is it not? Amen. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. As of preaching this broadcast, I just finished another funeral service this afternoon. And dear friend, a dear brother in Christ went home to be with the Lord. And my wife was reminding me about how he came to the church years ago and the situation that God used to get him under the gospel and to get him saved. And what a wonderful thing it was to stand by that graveside and know that though we were speaking there and he was not there, it was his body, but his family was there. What a great blessing it was to know that he heard the message that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And he wanted him to be his Savior as well, and he trusted him as his Savior. And by the way, he brought one of his friends to church one Wednesday night. We've had over the years what we call wonderful Wednesday nights, and they usually happen when we least expect it. And he brought his friend into the prayer meeting service, and they were sitting back there, and I can steal my mind's eye, I can see both those men sitting back there. And when we started taking prayer requests, his unsaved friend that he had brought, he raised his hand, and I recognized him, and I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "I want y'all to pray for me. I need to get saved." Wow. "I want y'all to pray for me. I need to get saved." I said, "Sir, we'll pray for you, and we'll do more than that. You just come on right now, and we'll have somebody take the Bible and show you how to be saved." And he did get saved. And you know, he and his wife went on, served as missionaries in Africa for a number of years. What a tremendous truth here. We have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And by the way, if anybody denies that Jesus is the Son of God, God doesn't dwell in them. Could I say that again real quickly? If anyone will not confess that Jesus is the Son of God and that God dwelleth in him and he in God, they're not of God. Look in verse 16. It's probably about as far as we'll be able to go today. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. One of the things that's been on my heart in this series of messages is try to preach, try to convey. Dear friend, regardless of how great a gift people might have, and some people have great gifts, but if they're lacking in the matter of godly love, dear friend, their love is not made mature. Their love is not made perfect. For verse 17 says, "Herein is our love made perfect," that is, it's made mature, "that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world." I'm going to go ahead and read these next couple of verses. We'll come back to them, God willing. "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, 'I love God,' and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also." You can see, dear friend, we've got the dessert right here for our next message or two when we come back together. And these last few verses, 16 through 21, they're just filled with tremendous blessings. This broadcast is targeted for the end of our broadcast week, and I hope you're making plans, if at all possible, to be in a good fundamental Bible-believing church. Never, ever, ever in my lifetime has it been more important than it is right now that we be faithful to our Lord, that we support our local fundamental Bible-believing churches. But I am well aware there's some people that are on beds of affliction, there are some that are incarcerated, there are some that have to work, there's some that have all kinds of responsibilities that cannot be in a good fundamental Bible preaching church. If you have access to the internet, Join us at www.calbapt.org. www.calbapt.org. Our services are streamed. We'd love to have you. Please join us next broadcast if you can.